Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts on Recovery, broadcasting to you from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking a dark and lugubrious Buckhead, as the sky is as ominous as the future for America. All right, before we begin, let me just say that my my voice is scratchy. I've got what everybody in America seems to have, and it's I'm going to go as long as I can, and when my voice is gone and I can't talk anymore, I may have to end the show a little earlier. But I'm going to bring on Stacy here right to begin with. Stacy, good afternoon. How are you?
Hi, Jack. I'm great. How are you?
Well, I'm still fighting this thing. It's interesting. I knew I needed an antibiotic, so yesterday morning I called Kaiser because that's where I have my health plan. And they were so busy, they did not have an opening at one of their facilities for one appointment for one doctor in the entire city of Atlanta. And that, they're, you know, 10 or 12 Kaiser facilities. This is a huge network. And so I had to just kind of stick it out until today before I could see someone. But that's, you know, neither here nor there. It did make me think that, you know, with the Obamacare, we're already beginning to see stuff, but that may not really be true. All right, now listen, I'm going to begin the program, as I always do, by reading a prayer. And these prayers, by the way, if you like them, and if you're in recovery, or if you know somebody that's in recovery, if you know people that are, you know, really having a hard time, we've published these, and they can get them at, Stacy, where can they get these?
www.mcgeepublishing.com, and McGee is M-C-G-E-E, or they can call 800-460-4673.
Say that number again.
800-460-4673.
I want people to know that, you know, we really don't really push stuff too much in the program. I never really make a lot of money just, you know, doing this radio program. But the need in America is so overwhelming as this economy continues to deteriorate. People's ability to take care of themselves and feel good about themselves is going right down the tubes. Even the people that, you know, that are taking government assistance all over the place don't feel good about it. Some do, but most don't. Most people want to take care of themselves and to be, and to have their self-worth and dignity as such that nobody makes them feel bad. But in America, that's not what's happening right now.
No,
all right.
It's not.
Appropriately, this prayer is titled A Prayer for When You Feel Defeated. Many people feel defeated. This is specifically for that. Father, my soul aches and my spirit is weakened. Heartache has consumed me, and I'm fearful of the future. Those who know your word far better than I have rebuked me, chastising me contemptuously, ridiculing and shaming me repeatedly. In my heart, I have cowed before them, never questioning their real intent, slinking away in defeat and despair. I vow to never return, choosing to remain aloof from them, from you, and from anything Christian. From that moment forward, time has not been my friend. I've wandered from you to a place where there is no joy, no purpose, no kindness, and no future. My self-defeating behavior has brought me low. My accusers know your word, but not your spirit. Father, I need you to guide me as I return home, as I come back to the place where I belong. Strengthen me with power in the inner man and allow me to be resilient and to stand strong. Return to me my sense of boldness and confidence, which will allow me to be the person you created me to be. Amen. I wrote that a long time ago. Well, actually, I wrote it not too long ago, but it was about a time when I went through a lot of things and where people who had spiritual authority over me used it to abuse me rather than to help me and to make me strong. Now, in his wisdom and in his plan, God used that to bring me around to where I would understand how people who have been victimized feel. And I most assuredly do. And it's why I can write some of the things that I do about it. I'm going to let you talk way more than me today, Stacy, and I think you can understand why. Can you even understand me?
Sure, I can understand you. But I do hear scratchiness in your voice, and I'll be glad, because right before we engaged in this meeting, the Lord showed me some things, and I would like to read the verse and share some things with the audience. Would that be okay?
Sure.
Okay, I have struggled with major clinical depression most of my life, and am really, really working on coming out of that. And I came across this verse in Isaiah 45:3. I will give you the treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. And I didn't really understand it until I read further. This verse indicates that our Father has gone before us, and in every dark moment or painful circumstance has buried a treasure or stored a secret. The only way we can find the treasure or learn the secret is to pass through that darkness. Some things cannot be learned in the light. The pit of depression has become a hedge of protection in my life, a warning light that something is wrong or out of balance. To wait means to accept the pit, knowing that it is for our good. I've read the Bible many times, and I don't remember ever reading this verse. But
it always seems to amaze me that you can read something time and time again, and then at the moment that you absolutely need wisdom from it, an aspect of it makes sense to you that never did before. But of course, that is how the Holy Spirit teaches us. And that's if you read the scriptures, and if that happens to you, it's a great validation to know that you are being taught by God's Spirit Himself in these things. And well, if God's teaching you something, then doesn't that, would he teach you something, and would he be interested in you if he didn't love you?
No.
No. So can there be any greater affirmation than that? I don't think so.
No. And another verse in Isaiah, it's Isaiah 40:29. He gives power to the tired and worn out, and strength to the weak. Jack, you know when you're in the pit, you don't have any strength, you're weak, and you are tired and worn out. And I think these two verses will minister to anybody that has an ear to hear, because I believe they are truly from God for this day. There is hope. There is light at the end of the tunnel. He is with us in all of these things. He doesn't abandon us. I thought for years he had abandoned me or didn't care about me. But there are things that I learned that I couldn't learn any other way. And instead of being mad,
go ahead.
Instead of being mad at God and what's happened, I'm learning to embrace it and be thankful that he cared enough about me to see me through this.
You know, whenever you have a feeling of despair, of when you have been used, abused, and discarded, whether it's in marriage or at a job or with friends or with a significant other or with children, you have this tendency to think that God doesn't understand. How could he? But Christ was absolutely rejected. And even the people that were the very closest to him denied him at the end. And he was murdered. And as he was dying, because he had all of sin put upon him, the purity and holiness of God had to depart, so he was all by himself when he died. And that had to be that way, and he knew it had to be that way. But that, you know, just because you know something has to happen and be that way does not make, you know, that doesn't ease the pain at all.
No.
When you're in a relationship that has to end and you know it, that doesn't take the pain away from the separation and from all of the things that go along with it. It's just part of it. And what happens in America, well, all over the world, but we're dealing with Americans, essentially. They can't stand the pain. We have a nation of people that are extremely immature. So what do? Start drinking, taking prescription pills, using dope, pornography, overeating and becoming obese, spending themselves into enormous debt because the act of buying something feels good, and they've got to feel good. There's something that they have to have because their life is such in the pit. So they end up having a problem that's worse than the original problem. They don't know how to get out of it. Of course, that's why we're here. That's what we're trying to do, is to help people. We want to help the broken. And in America, there are more people broken than aren't.
I agree.
They say that like 1 out of every 10 is an alcoholic. I don't believe that at all. I think it's much higher. Isn't this awful? I have to stop and cough every 2 minutes. Oh, I'm sure that anybody listening to the show is thinking, oh, my goodness. But, you know, these are important things, and we want to talk about them. And, you know, I when I'm done with this, I'll go lay down and take a nap. But I'm going to say these things. We're going to stand for what we're going to stand for, and we're going to go forward. And the people who want to get better, who want their lives to count, can pay attention. If they don't, that's fine. They can just go hang out at the bar and get drunk and get DUIs and lose their wives and husbands and kids and all the things that come from it. Very destructive. I want to, do you have anything you want to add right a second?
Well, the first thing that we have to do is we have to admit that we need help. And we have to be honest with ourselves and with others. We have to have emotional integrity. And we have to, our bodies get sick. Our minds get sick, too. And
There's
a stigmatism attached to mental illness. So people don't want to talk about it. They sweep it under the carpet, and it gets worse. And then it grows into this dark monster that is all-consuming. And then people see that they think they have no hope, and they give up. And, engage in various and sundry behaviors. There are holes in their soul that only Jesus can fill. And many times we know these things in our head, but they don't travel that 18 inches down to our heart. Therefore, it doesn't become ours. Knowledge for us isn't knowledge until we make it our own. And until we can do that, we're like a rabbit running on a wheel. We get nowhere. This requires total, absolute surrender to Jesus.
Yeah.
And sometimes
no matter how far down the line somebody's gone, there's still hope for them.
Yeah.
And God can turn things around if they're willing to do it. I have a niece who is a bad alcoholic. I mean, she just had tremendous problems with it. Was in lockdown facilities to detox several times, and as soon as she'd get out, she'd go back to it. Well, she ended up getting cirrhosis of the liver, at least partially, and also got hepatitis C. And if you get hepatitis C, you can't drink at all. Well, she continued to do it, knowing that it would kill her. And now she's literally in Beth Israel Hospital in a coma and still waiting for a liver kidney transplant that might save her life that's never going to come. So she's going to die, and her alcoholism has cost her at least 30 years of life. She couldn't kick it. There are a lot of people like that. I mean, in AA we say that alcoholism kills. We're not kidding. In all the years that I've gone to meetings, there's never been a month where something hasn't happened to somebody. In my 20 years of sobriety, I have two sponsors, that blew their brains out. One was a CPA and the other was a judge. These weren't low-class people. They both blew their brains out because they couldn't live life on life's terms. And their recovery was not based on turning their lives over to God. They have this as turning your life over to God as you understand. Well, God's real and He's almighty. But He will not have strange gods before Him.
No.
It's a big deal.
He's a jealous
America, doll. Yeah, in America, anything goes. That's our big problem. That's the place where we need to start to get this nation back. I just wrote a blog entry about it that I put up on my We Believe website. And just by the way, anybody that wants to, you know, I'm on Facebook, and that's everything I've got is on Facebook and on Twitter, you know, Jack Watts. And I put posts up about recovery every day on Pushing Jesus. So you can Google those things. All right. I want you to tell everybody where they can get some of our stuff, and then I'm going to let you just get, we're going to give a little bit of a commercial today because we never do it. Go ahead.
You can reach me at 800-460-4673, and I'll be glad to talk to you and place your order. Or you can go online to see all of our materials at www.mcgeepublishing.com. And that's MCGEE.
And this covers stuff, you know, from codependency to alcoholism to, we have things for everybody. I mean, if you've got something that's bothering you, we have something to help. And every single bit of it is
absolutely
deep, rich, and biblically based.
Absolutely.
And
you know, Jack,
go ahead.
One of the things that we encounter is we don't know how to control our thoughts. We don't think we can. We don't realize that we can. And sometimes it's a minute-by-minute thing. But if we will learn to control our thoughts and replace these fiery darts that are shot at us with the Word of God, they get less and less. And we have to learn to be in agreement with what God says, not what man says. Regardless of how you feel, you have to agree with the Word of God. And eventually, these thoughts become less and less, and you start to gain victory one at a time. That builds your faith and your trust, not only in God, but in yourself, in your submission to Him.
Nobody can see, since this is radio, but I'm smiling as Stacy is saying this, because this is a book that I am writing right now, you know, based on Robert McGee's ideas, and it's going to be a significant book. And let's be honest, most Christian books are drivel, and they don't really do much for you. It's just, you know, more and more about less and less, and it's feel good and touch and everything. The things that can fundamentally get down into the core of who you are and change your spiritual DNA so that you understand and you are a different person and a better person, a stronger, more resilient person. Those things are few and far between. What I'm writing right now is powerful, and I know it is. And it isn't because I'm writing it, because these are Robert's ideas, really. Some of them are mine, but the intellectual seminal thoughts come from Robert, who, as some of you may or may not know, created Rafa years ago, and wrote the book Search for Significance. It's sold about 3 million so far, and we sell it every day. But it's good stuff, really good stuff. And this new book, which is Search for Reality, we'll have it done and out by midsummer. Probably 75% through with writing it, but it's hard. Because it's, you know, you got to be pretty precise about these things. But it's also a labor of love and very transforming for me personally as I'm doing it. It's making me stronger. It's making me more resilient. It's making me firmer in who I am. And you know what that does? That makes you the person that God wants you to be. It's
podcast.
Isn't that what we want to be? Who God intended us to be? Is there any better validation in life than being who Almighty God created you to be? Is there anything that compares to it?
No.
In America, people are looking for the perfect climax. Okay? That doesn't last very long. Being validated by God does. It lasts forever. People want a perfect body. That definitely doesn't last very long. You can't keep it up. I've got friends that I go to the Y with all the time, and some of them are in really good shape, but they're aging and they don't know how to do it gracefully.
Well, Jack, there's an
old
saying.
God's validation is forever.
Yes.
There's
and there's an old saying called, that says, there's no high like the Most High. And that is absolutely.
I've never heard that one before. I kind of like that. Well, these are the things that we're doing. This is our first week of the year. And we're going to go through this year, and we're going to talk about all of the issues. We're going to explain to people how they can make their lives be what they want them to be so that they stop beating themselves up. Most of what people hear in church is, what does God want you to do? Who does he expect you to be? Which is the wrong thing. It doesn't work. We can do nothing for God. We can't add to him. But if we learn to believe how much he loves us, that's what transforms people from the inside out and makes them into the people that he wants them to be. And then they're useful. Until then, they're not. That's why we've got 80 million Christians, and we don't influence a dadgum thing in the society. We're in the background. We should not be in the background. We live in a society where corruption is normal, and if you point it out, what do people say? Well, Republicans do the same thing. Or, well, the Democrats do the same thing. You know what? Okay, I get it. They're all corrupt. But God isn't.
No, and he's the one we ultimately have to answer to.
Well, the key is, Puritans had about a bad rap. People criticize the Puritans. But they had a lot of it right. Their idea of just do the next right thing, look to God, worship the way you want, let everybody else worship the way that they want, but do not say that their way is okay when it isn't, when God has said, I will not have strange gods before me. We can't be those people.
No.
And call on his name. He's never, ever blessed the apostate people. And this whole idea that we can use, well, we're about to be raptured, so they make our lack of faithfulness a benefit. Instead of what it really is. All right, we're out of time, and I'm out of breath, and I'm so sorry that people will have a hard time understanding me, but your life can be different. God loves you, we love you, and God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Good night.
Yeah. Good night.